I always adore, love Talmid Chachamim, who are great in Torah and Midos alike. And that synthesis is exactly what you have in the community in Rochester. May you continue to all grow together. Be'ezras Hashem.
Amen.
This is an exciting time. If I may be so irreverent to say, this is our season to be merry. Purim is not simply a time of joy. It's a time of revelry. As the Medrash says, in the month of Adar, Himlech os kuf bischok. Hashem created this month via the letter kuf, infused with the trait of schok, banter, laughter, Purim spiels, Purim shtick, that is all in line with the spirit of this month. Kind of all that good stuff you did as a child. And some of us have grown old and maybe a little jaded by the heaviness of life. Can't crack a good-natured prank anymore. Comes along Purim, and it teaches us, be lighthearted, l'shem shamayim. Banter. Be playful. Be a child again. And I say that because the trait of Adar, the trait of Schok, is the trait of children. As the Pasuk says regarding the end of days, Yiladim v'yiladot mesachkim. The boys and the girls in Yerushalayim will frolic, will play in that beautiful idyllic vision of the end of days. And likewise, the concept of a mishta, a party, just party. Do adults usually talk that way? Mishta of Purim, simcha u'mishta. That is a trait of children, as the Pasuk says, una'arim mi mishta, nikinasa. The youth party, the youth banter. On Purim, we do this L'shem Shamayim. There must be something childlike. Not cherubic, not pure, oh no. Maybe I'm thinking more teenage pranks. The stuff here in the high school, they don't want us to acknowledge on the other side, right? There is something about healthy, youthful banter regarding Purim. Why? Well, an amazing find. In the Medrash Rabbah, the Esther Rabbah, it speaks of Mordechai surrounding himself specifically with whom when he is davening and trying to amass chosim that Klal Yisrael won't be destroyed at the time of Haman's Gzeirah. Who does Mordechai surround himself in the Esther Rabbah? Children, how many? 22,000 in the Medrash. Now, 22,000 is a very special number in Chazal. Elsewhere Chazal tells us, Ein Hashchina Shaira B'Pachas Mi Chaf Bezelot. It takes 22,000 individuals to bring down the Shechina. Clearly, Mordechai is trying to bring down the Shechina with children. 22,000 children. And when Haman comes into the base medrash, or the school, the cheder, whatever it is, he's enraged when he sees those children. He says, I'm going to kill these children. There's something about children which gets under Haman Harasha's skin. And presumably the Medrash is deriving this from the verbiage of the Megillah, which highlights Tafanashim, children and women, the first target of Haman, the first protagonist between the antagonist crosshairs is the children. Minarv Yadzakin, again, from youth to old, Haman has declared war on the Jewish children. I'm going to argue on healthy Jewish gaiety, laughter, childhood. And this is underscored by another statement in the same Medrash. It says, Haman approached the children and he asked them, what are you learning? Tell me some psukim. And what were the psukim? Three children told Haman? Does anyone remember? These are psukim which some of us say in the Siddur after Aleinu. The first child said, right? Altira mi pachat pisom, don't be afraid. Don't become terrorized by terrorists. The second child said, the next pasuk, utsu etza v'sufer, they try to plot against us. And the third child said, va'adzikna anihu. Hashem says, I don't abandon you in old age. And then Haman got really mad. Now, I am convinced in the context of a medrash about children, when Haman becomes enraged when he or Hashem does not abandon us in old age. You think, oh, a person's old, a person's not youthful, a person's less vigorous, Hashem has abandoned them. No. What that is effectively saying is, these children are saying, we will be children in our old age too. Hashem will be with us in our old age. Vadzikna anihu, we will have the vigor of youth in old age, that with a stride in our step as Jews. And that gets Haman really mad. Are you starting to sense something here? This great fight with Haman, this great story of Jewish gaiety, it's all about children? As brilliantly underscored by the conclusion of the Medrash, which says when Mordechai heard this exchange, what did Mordechai do? He heard the children telling Haman, ha ha ha, vadziknani hu. Hashem's with us in old age. Don't think we're over the hill in old age. How did Mordechai respond in the Medrash? Sachak! Mordechai started to laugh, and that got Haman really mad. He said, why are you so happy? Here you have all of these Purim themes, laughter, youth, our skirmish with Haman, all baked into this Medrash. Why? I'm convinced if we find the grand tapestry, the way all of these threads we've traced weave cohesively, we'll have a massive breakthrough discovery. What is this whole subject about youthful gaiety and Purim and our skirmish with Haman? Why is Haman so mad with children? Bear with me. That's how I'll take questions at the end. We have a big picture to hold your hearts. Please do not forget. So, the notion of youth and laughter, it's the opposite of heaviness, age, severity. A young person believes anything is possible, right? I could be president of the United States, right? Anything is possible. Never gives up hope. And as we age, nebuch, right, the realities of life, we become jaded. The entire concept of laughter is a lighthearted disposition. And in the context of Purim, this is directly tied to the concept of vinahapachu. Unexpected things happen. You see, we laugh at the unexpected. We know that. Why do people laugh, really? People laugh at jokes that aren't objectively very funny. But because of the surprise, the comedian knows how to deliver the punchline with the right timing, and it's unexpected. And many a good joke, Lahavdil, is killed because the punchline isn't delivered properly with surprise. You want me to demonstrate this for you? What is the stereotypical story or scenario why we all laugh? Right? The proverbial story of the fellow who slips on the banana peel. The children definitely laugh. As adults, I'm nice, I suppress my laughter, but I am suppressing laughter. Why do we laugh? If you would study the physics of rubber sneakers and banana peels, you will actually discover it makes a lot of sense that the lack of traction causes people to slip. There's nothing objectively funny, right? But why do we laugh? Well, here you had a fellow striding confidently over the cross of the room, and before you know it, he's lying out horizontally. It's the surprise. That's why we laugh. Purim is the story of the unexpected. Hashem works in unexpected ways. No one saw this coming. Then Ahapachu, you have the gallows to hang. Mordechai is going to hang upon those gallows. Haman will hang, right? The day of Jewish annihilation is going to be the day of Jewish celebration. No one saw this coming. Hashem has a sense of humor. Yoshev b'shamayim yischak, as the pasuk says in Kapitel Beis. Hashem does have a sense of humor. On a hugga called tzchok, he laughs. And Jewish destiny is based on the unexpected. Very honestly, any sociologist would not be able to predict that you and I would be here today continuing this great Jewish story of Avodas Hashem. And that's really the promise of youth, a youth who believes anything is possible. Right? Haman, on the other hand, is a characteristic fatalist. That is a trait of Haman. Haman believes in fate. Amalek believes in fate. The entire notion of the poor of Haman, the lot of Haman, is because Haman is trying to, with the power of mazalos and occults and keshef, he's trying to detect the time when fate has it, the Jews will not survive. And as Rashi says in Parsha Zecho, which we will read the Shabbos, Amalek when they fought the Jewish people. Really, Rashi references the scene in earlier Parshas Bishach at the time of Melchamas Amalek. Amalek was in tune with metaphysics and mazel and the time, right, when it would be serendipitous to attack the Jews. Amalek and Haman believe in fate. And for those who believe in fate, you're stuck. And there is nothing more depressing than being stuck. Purim teaches us laughter, gaiety, anything can happen. Va'adzikna ani hu. And how wonderful from this perspective, if you study the whole picture in Esther Rabbah, which discusses the exchange between Haman and Ahasuerus, right? Their Jewish problem and proposed final solution. Ahasuerus tells Haman, and Ahasuerus is a little more cautious than Haman. He says, maybe you don't want to start up with these guys. Yeah, their God tends to not to take kindly to those who start up with them. Think what happened to Paro. Not a good idea. Haman says, their God is old already. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple. Yeah, he's aged. How wonderful in a story all about youth versus fatalism. Haman believes we're doomed because God is old. And how powerful then at the end of the Medrash, according to this, when the child says, Vadziknani, Hashem says, no, I'm there till old age, the old age of the Jewish people, right, thousands of years into Jewish existence. I never become kiviyachal old myself. We never lose the stride in our steps. There's actually a halachic underscoring of this. Every conceptual hashkafa deka theme you could trace somewhere in the halacha if you know how to dissect a sugya carefully. There's a general principle in halacha that a katan, a minor, doesn't have a real mitzvah obligation, and even when he does to a degree, due to the principle of chinuch, which is likely a mitzvah on his father, he can't be motzi, he can't include a gadol, right? Because his chiyuv is of a different nature, less of a chiyuv, arguably not a chiyuv on him. However, according to one Tana, there's an exception to this rule. Arguably, according to some Rishonim, this is an anomaly in Shas. In the Mishnah and Megillah, Yitesim at base, Chei Reshot HaVakatan, Eina Motzian, they are unable to be Motzi, the Tzibur and Megillah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, a Katan can be Motzi, the Tzibur and Megillah. Now, I am not going to study and analyze that sugya with you right now. It requires more than one shir, right? Some Rishonim, such as the Ramban, believe this was a special takana, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Afin Hayu Ba'us Hanes, children were part of the miracle. By hook or by crook, he wanted to find a way to include them in a primal sense. Now, standardly, that's interpreted, Afin Hayabosanis and children were targeted too, but we know there is an alternative that Afin Hayabosanis always means they are primal to the miracle. I think we're beginning to taste that possibility, at least conceptually. Children are primal to the story. By hook or by crook, a katan is going to be part of this. This is a story of children, I would suggest. Now, when you think very deeply into laughter and the origins of Jewish laughter. I'm not saying Jewish humor and the Borscht Belt, which largely that sort of humor is a survival mechanism. You know, Nebuch, you know, in certain more secularist arenas where the Jewish reality is largely just about surviving anti-Semitism and that sort of thing, rather than the inherent positivity of meaning in life. So it was a survival mechanism, that sort of Jewish humor. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about true Jewish humor, a humor of bitachon. Yeah, we laugh because we know, however grim things are, Hashem is at our side. What would you argue? I'll open up this question. What would you argue is the story in Chumash, which is most overtly about laughter, most explicitly and overtly about laughter? What would the group say?
Sorrow.
And I'm going to argue more broadly the birth of Yitzchak, the child whose name means laughter. It says Yitzchak so many times in that story. Before Sarah, at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, Avram laughs when he hears he's going to have a son. Really now? And he laughs. Sarah then laughs, a little more skeptically her laugh when she hears this Malach disguised as an Arab, right? The soothsayer, as she sees it, this Arab soothsayer saying old and fertile Sarah's going to have a child. She laughs. And then when the child's born, she says, "Chokos li alu kim." Everyone's going to laugh with me beautifully, No one's jealous of me. No one's envious, as things should be. Everyone is sharing in my joy. Now, there's a thread of that story. Yishmael is mitzachek. Not for now to study all of those nuances, but to appreciate that's a story all about laughter, correct? What is so powerful, I'm going to suggest, in the context of our shir today is, what was the context of that laughter? An unfathomable, unexpected miracle is going to happen. An old woman is going to give birth. Chazal says Sarah looked inward at the anatomy of her body, and she said, this specimen is going to... Yeah, right. So here you have the unexpected, but much more than that, much more powerful than that. What is the subject of that story? What is the miracle that's bringing laughter? The model, quintessential story of Jewish laughter.
Continuation.
And more specifically, old people will be young again. You hear the magic of the breathtaking discovery here. The model story of Jewish laughter is that the old will be young again. Avram and Sarah will be fertile again. And hence Avram mints a coin, as the Gemara says in Baba Basra, as per the Marshal's rendering. Avram's coin says, Zaknu Zakena Mitzaracha, Bacharu Butzul Mitzaracha. One side of the coin says old man, old woman. One side of the coin says young man, whippersnapper, young woman. They're two sides of the same coin. Avram and Sarah learn old and young. It's all one. I don't care what your age is. A Jew never becomes old. That's why life is very funny to Avram, who lives with Amunah. When the going got rough, it seemed impossible to old infirm Avram that he would have a child. And the Chumash says, Vayamin Bashem, the very first time the Torah uses the word Amunah is when Avram holds on tight to Hashem's promise he's going to have a child. And from here, the Gemara derives that B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Maminim, that we can all access Avram's Amunah in the unfathomable dream and never give up on the dream. We will yet laugh. Think about that dream of Geula we've been holding on to for so many millennia. Oz Yemale Schok Pinu, then we're going to laugh. It's going to be so unexpected. No one's going to see it coming. And you'll notice something interesting in the context of that pasuk about the end of days, which Shir HaMalos, right? That Shir HaMalos is telling me the site after every meal, Shabbos Yantav. The context is, it says as follows. Hayinu Kecholim. The ghoul is going to be so, I'm reading the podcast for many Rishonim, the ghoul is going to be so surreal. So, is this for real? We're going to feel like dreamers. And hence it continues, Azibali Sklopinim. You hear in light of today's shir what the juxtaposition of the pasuk is? Because it's surreal, no one saw this coming. That's why we're going to laugh. Hashem works in unexpected ways. And therefore, when the vicissitudes of life, everything you are facing, I am facing, we're all dealing with a lot. I want everyone to think to themselves sincerely. Them and Hashem, it's a big job living this life. It really, 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 really is. You don't know what anyone here is going through. It's a big job living this life. But what keeps us going as we face down grim circumstances and relationships in our life, I would dare say, is the knowledge that Hashem works in unexpected ways, and it's going to be very, very funny. From the Ezra's Hashem, we see the breakthrough. And in this regard, I want to trace another story of characteristic Jewish laughter, and you will see the triangulating of youth, the unexpected, v'rahapahu, and laughter. We all know the Gemara at the end of Makkos. Many of us know the Gemara. Famous Chazal, when the Chacham saw a fox emerging from the Kodesh Kadashim, and they cried. This is the fulfillment of Yirmiyahu's grim prophetic vision. Shu'alim Hilchubo, the foxes are stepping all over our sacred spaces. And Rabbi Akiva laughed. As he turned it on its head, he said, there's a linkage between this Nevuah and the Nevuah of Zechariah, in which it says, Od Yeshu Zekenu Zekenos, Berchovus Yerushalayim, right? The old will be sitting in the street with dignity and the aura, the eminent aura of Jewish age. And then the pasuk continues, the youth will be frolicking in the streets. Yiladim v'yiladot masachkim b'rchavoseha. He says, due to the linkage, I see how in the worst moments, critters treading on our sacred, in our sacred spaces, I see this prophecy. And he laughed. He laughed specifically because the inversion is so impossible. In the worst moments, seeing the positive linkage emerging. And moreover, his laugh at Vinahapahu, the grim Jewish visions become the celebrated Jewish visions, ultimately involve laughter. The pasuk in which he sees this source for laughter says, the Jews consist of a lot of old people, but even more so, Yiladim v'yiladot masachkim. And there's something contagious about the way the young people laugh. It infuses a certain joy in the old people too, as we see in the story of Avraham. And I would argue it's not a coincidence that Rabbi Akiva, always positive till the very end when he faces very grim moments, as we know, even as he was martyred so gruesomely by the Romans, they scalped him, they skinned him, as the Gemara says in Menachos, they sold his flesh in a butcher's market. And yet, he maintained his positive demeanor till the end. I'm going to argue this is all based on Rabbi Akiva's ability to invert with joy. As elsewhere, Rabbi Akiva says, he believes, Kol Marat Al Rahman Al Tav Avid, the negative is the positive. And I want to trace with you in this regard a splendid pattern. When Rabbi Akiva was incarcerated and about to be killed by the Romans, we know he was questioned by a Jew in prison named Pappas Ben Yehuda, the Gemara tells us in Brachas. And he says, Rabbi Akiva, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do defying the Roman edict teaching Torah? Might you got yourself in trouble like this? And what did Rabbi Akiva respond? The famous mashal about the fox and the fish. Yeah? There were fish in water, and the fox said, oh, come above on sea and live together like our forefathers lived together. Right? Apparently, in this mashal did not involve Darwin, who believed all life started from the sea, believed the other way, that the fish was once in the dry land with the fox. Okay? Apparently, the mythology always changes. But the point is, Rabbi Akiva says, and the fish says, are you crazy? Right? Water is the place where I live. If I'm compromised in the water, certainly I'll be compromised on dry land. Rabbi Akiva says, that's a Jewish Torah, right? Might be compromised in Torah and water. Do you notice it just the fox imagery just happens to creep up in Rabbi Akiva's final chapter of Rabbi Akiva's life? The linkage is too powerful. Two Gemaras involving Rabbi Akiva and a fox, and a positive demeanor when facing down. I believe the Gemara about Rabbi Akiva laughing when he sees the fox, that is a scene which echoes and reverberates to the end, when Rabbi Akiva faces down other foxes, and he laughs at death itself. Rabbi Akiva never loses his youth. As the Gemara tells us in Yovamis, Rabbi Akiva, even after he lost the 24,000 Talmidim in his youth, right? The Gemara in the Medrash further elaborates, Rabbi Akiva said, from here I see, even if you had professional success in your youth, Hamidu Talmidim b'Zeknecha, right? Don't retire, you're not over the hill, continue to be youthful. Rabbi Akiva has that spirit of youth, that spirit of laughter, and that spirit of v'nahapahu. Not a coincidence that his fist who faced down the fox are the icon of Purim, Mazel Atar Dagim. This is the triumvirate on Purim, of Purim. Youth, laughter, v'nahapahu. And actually, if you look in Tosfos, in the Gemara in Makkos I mentioned before, that Gemara in which Rabbi Akiva says, you see a fox treading on the temple, right? But what do I see? I see this vision about the old and the young in the streets of Yerushalayim. Tosfos, based on another Chazal, explains that what he's really referencing is there is a vision of Tchias HaMeisim here, because the pasuk at the end of days says that the old along with the young will be Zekena b'mishonosam, they will be with canes. Well, elsewhere we find the Navi, Elisha, revived the dead using his cane. So you see, a cane is a Jewish icon of Tchias HaMeisim. Now, how odd happens to be a drasha, Gzeira Shava, came here, right? Not a coincidence at all. In the context of this Gemara and this Tosfos, which is all about Vinahapachon inversion, the cane, the eye kind of over the hill in old age. In Jewish thought, means Tchias HaMesim. There's a cane in which ultimately morphs into the Yiladin. Purim is all a holiday about. You think we're old? You think we're over the top? Think again. Haman thought this is the month in which Moshe Rabbeinu died. Little did he know it's the month in Moshe Rabbeinu lives. And here there's conceptual Tchias HaMesim there. In Adar, Moshe's no more. Think again. In Adar, the spirit of Moshe first comes into existence. Adar seems the most distant from Nisan. Nisan is the time of Jewish youth. Fertility, the fertility of spring. Is the pasuk describing Pesach. We had that youthful abandon following our lover Hashem into the desert. Adar, the frigid cold, we seem old already. You think Adar's distant from Nisan. Moshe Rabbeinu, the redeemer of Nisan, is dead. Think again. The miracle of Purim, of course, happened on Pesach. It was on Pesach that Haman was hanged, right? Adar seems distant from Nisan. It's really connected like this, as the Gemara says. We always celebrate Purim in Adar Sheni, in the second Adar in a leap year. We want a juxtaposition between the Gula of Purim, the Gula of Pesach. So it's one period of Mishanechnas Adar Marvim, the Simcha Yemei Purim Pesach, as Rashi says in Tainus, right? That Purim seems old, frigid, cold. The winter in our life, detached from the youthful period, and yet it's most linked to the period of youth. A Jew never loses hope. And that's why life is so colossally funny. And Purim is so colossally funny. And Purim is the holiday about the end of days, as Chazal tells. Purim is the only holiday which won't be bottled at the end of days. The end of days is a period of laughter, as we said. The period of Tchias HaMesim, the period of great inversions. And it is the period when we will, Be'ezus Hashem, all partake in a great feast. Do you have a communal feast in Rochester, or does everyone have their own Purim Suda? Both. Yeah?
Both.
Do they know how to throw a good party up in Rochester?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beginning to warm up a little bit.
Relative.
Depends.
Okay, we got a ways to go.
Yeah.
Kodak might be dead in Rochester, the snow might be falling, but the Jewish spirit is live and well in Be'ezus Hashem, this beautiful community. Okay, right? So, you will have million-dollar smiles without Kodak, which is in the ashpan of history. We've moved on to new technology. Fair enough. So, that great suit that you have in Rochester, the Vilna Gaon says, the Mishta of Purim is connected to the Mishta of Loss of Love, or whatever it means in Olam Haba, we will have what's called the Sudas Levyasan. What does it say regarding the Levyasan in the Kapitel of Barchi Nafshi? Levyasan Zayatzarta? Lesachekba. The Levyasan is a creature of laughter. The Purim Suda is all about laughter. The Mazal Matter is fish. Levyasan is the great fish. I think you're seeing how the pieces come together. And if you want to trace more about this triumvirate between the end of days of Nahapachu, number one, laughter and youth, I want you to think about the second capital in Tehillim. Lama Ragshu. This is the second capital in Tehillim, which is considered the capital about Mashiach. Right? Does anyone here say Tehillim frequently? I will tell you, as I age, it is the most, I find the solace which Tehillim provides, a very, very powerful thing. No one should think they're too sophisticated for Tehillim. It is, the older and the more mature you become, Tehillim gives you something. I have to tell you from personal experience. Yeah, facing down life becomes life, right? Tehillim, yeah? So strongly advised, like the Mekubalim say, every Jew could find themselves in Tehillim. Strongly advised. So be that as it may, right in the beginning, Kapitel Beis in Tehillim, Lama Rug Shugayim Luhum Yagu Rik Yisyatsu Machan Yaretz Tatatat Al Hashem Al Mashiach. They're laughing at Hashem. They're mocking Hashem and the Mashiach. Right? And yet Hashem says, Yoshev Bashamayim Yitzchak, you're laughing at me and my Mashiach, and you have a skepticism if there'll ever be Jewish redemption. Yeah, you believe in that old canard for 2,000 years about the wandering Jew and how that bespeaks that the Jews are never going to be redeemed. We know who they rejected, right? And all that stuff, Yoshev B'Shamayim Yitzchak, he's been laughing all along. And Hashem tells Mashiach, you're going to do just fine. Stare these guys down, Mashiach, and the greater collective spirit of Mashiach, which is in all of us. Ani hayom yoledaticha. I just gave birth to you. Shalmi mani v'atena. Mashiach and the redemptive spirit of the Jewish people always feels young. That is said in the context of Hashem laughing and the end of days. When we feel, grim as the conditions might be, facing down the threats, those who are mocking us, and they may not be external enemies, the Ayatollahs and the like, but they could be the real life dynamics that we face as individuals. And even good people who are in our lives, opposition, which is an important thing. Good people, people in our family, people in our work, but good people, but are obstacles relationally or otherwise for whatever reason, right? As Reb Tzedek says, that's our goals from which we have to achieve Mashiach, right? So we face down grim situations, buoyed by Hashem's laughter and our eternal fountain of youth, Ani Hayom, Yoledaticha, which is all very, very Purimtik. You know, on Purim, I have to ask this before I proceed. You know, we all struggle with stereotypes, right? That's the old issue. We all struggle with stereotypes. Now, though in the age of postmodernism, they tell you don't stereotype. We all do it. The human mind will forever stereotype, right? Anyone who says they're not a judgmental person, you know, is it? Blatant lie. The human mind is unable to be unjudgmental. Our mind can only categorize the sheer true intelligence, not artificial intelligence. True intelligence, a person can only systematize so much because we have neat categories to put things in. So I see you, I look at the way you dress, I look at the way you comport yourself, I immediately make certain assumptions and compartmentalize you. Now, in so doing, we're judgmental of each other and we fall prey to all sorts of maladies, maladies and others, but right, we stereotype, okay? So fair enough. I have a stereotype. You'll correct me if I'm wrong. Rochester strikes me as a good old American grandma's apple pie community. Everyone behaves themselves. Everyone does what they're supposed to do. No, not the case.
How have I?
You have a little roundingness up there, up north?
No.
City. Huh?
City. No, like
it. So, okay. So be that as it may, Bez Hashem, I look forward to connecting to everyone in Rochester. One day you will have to guide me to safe places to walk in the left side.
Beautiful,
good. I see the people are wonderful people. So let me ask you a question. In the Frum community, do people know how to get a little rowdy and tipsy at a Purim soup in Rochester? Yeah, you know how to throw a good job?
Yeah.
Abyssal. Oh, no abyssalas. Yeah? Adol Yada.
Definitely the youth.
The youth, fair enough. So, Adol Yada. Until you don't know. Adol Yada. Now, I'm going to argue that's itself a very youthful concept. You know, we generally celebrate das, knowledge, maturity. The word das actually does not mean smarts. Do you know that? The word das means maturity. The word chachma means accumulation of facts. Chachma is what you're taught, mashalom d'rabba. Das means to accumulate into yourself, as the Sfarim say. Das is from the word intimacy, but chibur v'yeda adam asish. It's when you accumulate something into your consciousness. That's why even a very smart katan is called ein bo das. The Vilna Gaon, when he was 12 years old, knew a lot more than I will ever know. But there's a lot of chachma he had. Right? But there's something called das, which is maturity. I'm going to suggest from a given perspective, adol yada means you kind of lose that maturity. Maturity is a very important thing, right? We all heard when we were little children, don't be immature. But you know, there are consequences to being sometimes too mature. It comes with heaviness. It comes with, oh yeah, skepticism about life. We all know what's going to happen. And one day a year when we laugh to liberate ourselves from that das, from that maturity of age. I'm going to argue Adol Yada is itself an underscoring of our theme about youth, and I want to solidify this with a breakthrough discovery. Right in the beginning of the Megillah, Kesheves HaMelech Achashverosh, the king is sitting on his royal throne. As Chazal say, he settled all the skirmishes in his kingdom, right? He's made Persia great again. By the way, for another show, there are a lot of correlations between Trump and Achashverosh, but that's not Torah, that's for a Purim Suda. And I don't only mean the beauty pageants. There are a lot of correlations there for a Purim Suda to discuss. But,
can
but, But that's a joke I can make here. I'm going to give a share later in the base medrash. In deference to certain high hollow members, I would not make a joke like that. But how do Chazal say how he made Persia great again and he's ready to throw his party? Right? Chazal render the pasuk. Kesheva Samal Chashu, he settled down. Not only he physically sat on his throne, but he settled down. The words of the Gemara is Nisyashva Daito. His das settled. This was in which year of his reign was it? Bishnath Shalosh Lamachon. His third year he settled down. Well, the Vilna Gaon writes, I'll tell you why Nisyashva Daito, in the words of the Gemara, in the third year. The Gemara says that in the third year, a child is done nursing, generally. Child weaned generally in the second year, a child's done nursing. Gemara actually says that's when they develop das, because they start to eat chita, they consume solids, especially grains. Gemara talks about how wheat is a source of nutrition. That's why one opinion says the eitz hadas was chita. And the Gemara says, a sordid implication which comes with that. I will tell you, as a father of children, when they start to eat solid stool comes with it. So, right? As the Gemara says, Yosef das, Yosef machov, right? With das comes certain unwarranted consequences, yeah? It's all comes in the packaging. Yosef das, that's why they're only 3 years old. That's what happens. Good, because they're consuming solids, they're consuming grain. Says the Vilna Gaon, again, if I was saying this, you'd think it's a stretch, it's a Hashid Shavar, this is a Vilna Gaon, okay? Says the Vilna Gaon in his Pirush on the Megillas Esther, Nisyashva Daito is in the third year of his reign. Yeah, he has das, he's super, super mature, right? But the Vilna Gaon is inviting the commentary, specifically when he's supposed to become mature, that's when he turns himself to a silly, the way Gaon do, right? When they're supposed to be mature. Okay, and all sorts of interesting things developed from that film ago. Isn't it interesting that the intro to the Purim story is Achashverosh has das, he's super, super mature, right? And the Vilna Gaon is clearly rendering das here to mean maturity. And the entire story is all about how Hashem makes a big joke out of him. V'nahapachu, right? Hashem is making jokes out of him, and everything you think is happening, you're summoning your queen, and incidentally, you're going to kill your queen, and the Jewish heroine's going to enter the past. Hashem's making a joke out of him from beginning to end, as Tzvarim say, right? And it's specifically when he thinks he's mature. I believe that's all part of the drama. Purim's a story about taking those who are super, super mature and serious and showing them how light things are. And I'll give you a final corroborating piece of evidence. This is going to be a little funny, but I believe it's part of the greater picture of a Torah pattern. Remember I mentioned before that when the child's 3 years old, the Gemara says, this Gemara which the Gaon is applying to Achashverosh at the meal, what happens? What is the unwarranted consequence? Yosef das, Yosef machov. Child develops stool, right? There's a bad smell, I should say, in stool, correct? As opposed to when they nurse. Well, do we have any appearance of such sordid matter in Megillas Esther or in Gemara Megillah? We'll conclude with this. The Gemara in Megillah tells us that generally late sanus is off limits, besides for late sanus avodah zarah. You're supposed to mock idols. And Chazal engage in real bathroom humor regarding some of the idols, describing various parts of the anatomy of the body and so on. Okay? The type of stuff that if it wasn't Chazal, you'd think it's pretty immature. Bathroom humor is very childish, by the way. All children do it, right? That's by design. That's why the late son of Avodah Zarah is a bathroom humor, which is very immature. Now, how old are we? On Maseches Megillah, we have late son of Avodah Zarah, youthful bathroom humor. And then in the Purim story itself, we all know this medrash, right? In Haman's moment of being trampled on, well, not an abbreviation. Oh, no. This is a very sobering moment for Haman. Humiliation, oh yeah, when he's leading the horse, and this is when a big joke is being made of him, and his daughter's sure that he is Mordechai, and what does she pour on him? There you go. Children, we tell them it was garbage. It was not. It was that unwarranted stuff. And it's unmistakable when you put the pieces together. The Gemara saying, late son of Avodah Zarah is by drawing correlations to those things. Haman, who made himself an idol, those stuff was thrown on him. And that's the joke! That's the late son of Avodah Zarah. And the story all begins with a fellow who thinks he's so mature and so on top of his game. Achashverosh is 3 years old, which the Gaon is linking to the age when the stool is smelly. What's the big picture to this pattern? It sounds funny, but when you have a midrashic pattern, it's compelling. The story is, we make a little fun on Purim about the mature human condition, this Yashva Daito. Yeah? Be mature. With maturity comes a lot of unwarranted consequences. Yosef Das, Yosef Machal, including those physical stuff. We laugh at the heaviness of life. Because on Purim, we realize Hashem works in unexpected ways. We never become too grim. A Jew is never over the hill. We never lose the stride in our step and our positive demeanor. Purim is a yontif where we party, masquerade, mach freilich, with a youthful gait. Because as we have traced through this cohesive pattern, it is very funny to live life without ever losing that youthful delight and belief in the unexpected. As we all face down the grim situations which so plague us, there is no escape. There is no escape. But the one medicine is the fountain of youth, the schok of Purim, which a Jew forever possesses. It's a fountain of youth, it's a fountain of laughter, it's a fountain of amuna on Purim and beyond. May we all imbibe a heavy dose of that youthful laugh of amuna. Life is real, but don't take it too seriously. A freilich in Purim. May we be zochet of this. Amen. Kein yehi ratzon. And now I'm ready to follow up with any questions.
So first off, the comment. To sum it all up, men tracht and got lacht.
Yes, that Yiddish line. You're wondering if Avoseinu and Imoseinu, right in the Shtetla, if that Yiddish line had a whole shir behind it. Very good.
Sounds like it does.
Very good. Like Gewaldic. Yeah. Gewaldic. Bubby knew a lot more, right?
Yeah. Right? It wasn't just the same.
My Bubby with her tzenera, my great, with a tzenera Anna, right? Never opening up a black Gemara. She imbibed the essence of everything in a black Gemara. Yes.
So let me ask, though. How do you square this with the concept that on Purim we accept Torah Shabbat Peh? And I would think Torah Shabbat Peh more has an elder theme to it, because aren't the elders the one that pass on the knowledge, the unwritten knowledge?
Ooh, you are saying something so brilliant. What's your name?
Menachem.
Reb Menachem, you are saying something so, so brilliant. You see, I'm over time. I was not going to go into this, but you are saying something so colossally brilliant. Listen to what Reb Menachem just said. Gewaldige Shtickel Teira. Listen to this. Purim is the yontif from where we read Makabel Torah Shabbat Peh, as per the Medrash Tanhuma's rendering of Hadar Kibbalah, right? Now, Torah Shabbat Peh is very hard to learn, right? Very hard, right? Who is the great icon of Torah Shabbat Peh according to the Arizal, right? The Rabbi Akiva, right? How would Rabbi Akiva begin his shiur? What does the Medrash say? In Esther Rabbah, of all places, right? I could break your head over Reb Chaim Brisker's shir. That's not break your head over Rabbi Akiva's shir. So what did Rabbi Akiva do right in the beginning of his shir, which is iconic of Torah Shabbat? What did Rabbi Akiva do?
Told the joke.
Right? And that's what the Gemara about the famous joke, the Pasach B'Milu de Medicha saw about, for some reason, the sages of Israel thought it was funny. The question, why did Esther merit to be queen of 127 countries because of Esther who lived 127 years? Now, for another shir, why that's so funny? Because to me, that's a very deep Chazal, it's not so funny. To them, that was funny. Rabba, really, based on this drasha, he began the shir of Torah Shabbat Peh Pasach B'Milu de B'tichasa. Apparently, intense as Torah Shabbat Peh is, what is our entryway to Torah Shabbat Peh, as in the shir of the Tanah Men Amaran? A bit of humor. So Rabbi Menachem wants to suggest, Purim, the yontif of humor, is our entryway into Torah Shabbat Peh. You need tzchok, because the Gemara there says when you laugh, it opens up your mind and you can think deeper and broader. So a Purim is not really the day that we learn Torah Shabbat Peh. You always have that killjoy guy, right, who misses the Purim Suda here in Yeshiva and goes to the base Medrash. And you're like, yeah, there are masas before the Purim Suda. Yid is supposed to learn. Yehuda Maisa Ora V'Simcha, first Ora, then Simcha. But that guy always needs a little chizik from his Rebbe, and there's a time and place for everything, right? Now, right? So Purim is, yeah, we learn, but it's time where Makabal Torah Shabbat Peh. The learning, we learn, but the learning is, it's set, you know, and I would tell that Bacher, You're going to learn so much better the whole year if you have a Purim, right? It's not Yidches Cheshbon. It's not a regular day today. So learn, and then, right? It's the, right? The Schok of Purim is our Kabbalah, is our entryway to Torah Shabbat. And it's a very deep point, because at Har Sinai we were forced, right? The Hadar Kibbalah, and this Hadar Kibbalah of Torah Shabbat Pach, has also is Mei Ratzon. We are Mekabel Torah Mei Ratzon. Ratzon means, I don't feel forced, I feel free. Right? You know, those who feel constrained in school, right? Right? But that's not Hadar Kibbalah. Hadar Kibbalah is feeling free. And it's some of that laughter which makes you feel free. When I give a shiur, I don't plan my jokes. You know that? I plan my Torah, I don't plan my jokes. And you can ask any of my Talmidim, I say with some parts, my humor, there's a lot of humor there. Because the humor, the shtickl Torah is very planned, very carefully planned. But the humor has to be spontaneous, and I feel the audience feel the Talmidim, because the humor, it's not really about the jokes. We don't care about jokes. We want to open up our hearts and our minds to learn well and connect to Hashem well. So the humor has to be spontaneous. It can't be forced. It can't be imposed. It can't be rigid. It can't be formalized. You got to feel the audience, yeah? So the humor is spontaneous. So the Kabbalah Mei Ratzon, it's that free-flowing spirit. I think the Schok is all very connected to the free-flowing Ratzon, right? Think about it. Reb Menachem said something brilliant. I have to be honest with you. I don't think I was ever in Rochester. I once spent a summer giving some shiurim years ago in Binghamton. There was a SUNY university there, but I never spent time in Rochester. So I knew Rabbi Nachumowitz, but just from a little interaction with Reb Menachem, I see Baruch Hashem, right? Real engaged Yiddishkeit and learning going on. May we all be zeicha to learn and grow together. Afreil Kimperim, thank you very much.
You're definitely invited. Good.
I'm assuming that the Rashi has proven childlike appearances also has to
This is a great question. Right? And so we always have to debate if something connected or something to Rechema. I believe that Krovia Keravia is a specific phase of Chassidus.